Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Our next guest is a two-time NBA champion and 11-time All-Star who helped LeBron make four consecutive trips to the NBA Finals in Miami. Chris Bosh in studios now. Thank you for coming back to Undisputed.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I like the show, man. You guys really get it going. It's like coffee in the morning.
You don't need coffee, just
Yeah, it's awesome.
So next month, big month for you. You're going to become the fourth player in Miami Heat history to have your jersey retired. Congratulations on that.
How special is that for you?
It's everything. I've been kind of just telling people, my grandfather was a huge family man, had a big family. Now I have a big family. I feel like I'm carrying on the torch for the Bosh name. And to be able to put the name, my family name, up in the stands, which with an organization that's so special to me. We've gone through huge ups and downs, and we continue to still be here. So just to have that opportunity and just, I mean, it's the league. I wanted to be in the league my whole life and to actually accomplish things and, you know, look up there and see that. That'll be amazing.
Are they going to cover up Jordan's jersey and put Jordan's
jersey? I don't think so.
Just asking, though.
Nah, nobody covers up Mike.
Now, Chris, after, you know, several years of, you know, holding out that you might come back and play in the NBA, you've announced that you've officially retired. The Lakers, your old teammate LeBron, could use some help. I mean, if they called you over the break and were like, we need a big that can stretch the floor, that knows how to win, You would not think about coming back?
No, I wouldn't. You know, my phone has been on the past 2 years, and I made that pretty adamant. And, you know, teams have been trying to build and do their thing. And you know, guys know how to get in touch with me. But it'd be like a month too late.
A month too late.
Yeah, wow. You know.
You mean too late to join the Lakers to help them out, or just too late?
Just to play basketball. You know, I'm just moving on. You know, I had talks with my family. I have five kids. You know, Jackson, Dylan, Trent, I got to get these out.
Get them right.
Phoenix, Lennox, I love you guys.
Right.
But that was one of the main reasons that I decided, you know, to continue to stay home and, you know, work on the next thing. And I've went there mentally in my mind. So I'm moving on. Yeah.
Those are five really good reasons to do that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Very.
Right. So, all right. So you're not going to join LeBron with the Lakers, but we do want to ask you about LeBron and the Lakers. Your former teammate had a triple-double, but it wasn't enough. LA's defense continuing to struggle. They gave up 117 points, Chris, to Atlanta in a four-point loss. Now, the Lakers are under 500 heading into the All-Star break. They're 2.5 games out of the playoffs. After the game, LeBron said the team needs to get their minds right and then, quote, come back with the notion that we'll make the playoffs. So, I mean, you've played alongside LeBron, a younger LeBron, albeit, but do you have faith that he can pick up this young Lakers team and carry them into the playoffs?
Well, here's the thing. It's a team sport. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a collective to be successful in the NBA. Even 1 through 8, to make it in the playoffs, you have to be a pretty good team. It just can't be about one singular guy. So that's what he means by that. You know, maybe they do need a break right now. Well, they do. It's not even a maybe about it. They need a break. They're young guys, you know, trying to do things, playing at a level that they didn't know existed a year ago. So they're going to have to take this time to take a break and get their mind focused. If he's saying that, that means that the mentality is not there. Obviously, giving up 117 points, that's not going to get it done. They need to get refocused, refreshed, and know that it's hard and come back and really hit it after All-Star break.
When the Lakers tried to go after AD and they were offered up basically the whole team, is that saying basically that LeBron doesn't feel like he could win with that group and needs another, like, star rather than those young guys at this point in his career?
Well, remember, Magic Johnson and Ron Palenka are the president and the GM of that organization, you know? So they know that they have to win. They know what it takes to win. They're going to make certain moves in order to do what they feel is necessary to win. Now, although LeBron might know about some things, maybe not, he still is not the president and GM. So remember that it's their job to make those trades. LeBron's not on the call. He's in the gym. You know, they just have to deal with that. And that's the part of being in the spotlight.
Do you point see, blank.
go ahead.
Point blank. Are the Lakers going to make the playoffs this year?
I don't know. I
what's mean, your, what's your,
I would think so. I mean, it's a lot of pressure, but it's 2.5 games back. We're talking about 2.5 games back. It's a race. You know, that's why the second half is always so exciting. You know, it's 2.5 games back. It's not a long way to go just to make the playoffs. They can continue to improve. They're pretty good. They have pretty good young guys. And if they figure out this defensive problem, they can fix things.
We say second half, but it's only 25 games left.
True. I mean, it's just a term, right. Figure of speech.
But
yeah,
it's
a sprint.
It's a sprint at this point.
Absolutely.
Do you see any slippage in LeBron James's game and his ability to take this team where they want to go?
I don't think so. I think he's been pretty good. I mean, a triple-double usually gets it done. Maybe not in today's league, obviously, but performance is not an issue.
How about defensively?
Defensively?
It doesn't look the same.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, he's point guard, he's point center, he's at the five sometimes, asked to be the leader. One thing that I've that's an underrated thing in the league, when you get to a certain age and you have to perform on and off the court, it's a whole different beast, you know. So mustering that up to do that year-round, it takes a special person to do that. You know, it's not easy at all. And sometimes you get tired. I'm not saying he's tired, but you have to pace yourself, and that's a part of it.
You guys were all part of the same draft. You're retired. Dwayne Wade, this is last year.
Yeah.
Carmelo
is retired.
Like, he's got his phone on, but you know, it doesn't look like he may get picked up. Why do you think LeBron has, and you know, looks like he's got 3 more years on his deal, so mm-hmm. he'll probably play at least another 3 years. Why do you think he's been able? I know all you guys work hard.
Yeah.
Why has he been able to continue to pretty much be in his prime or toward the tail end of his prime and have many years left in his 16th season?
I think that's a testament to how hard he works. I've never seen anybody work so hard on their body. And that's the thing that gives you longevity in the league. And he's been doing it since we were in our early 20s. I mean, we were in the Olympics. I'm 24, you know, eating burgers and just not stretching. And we would be hanging out and he would stretch. You know, had his trainer with him. He's the first guy I see always have his trainer with him. He'd be doing the show right now and get on a stretching table and, you know, just work on those small things. And that has added up and allowed him to have some longevity later in his career.
How about the injury this year where he missed, 18 games?
Yep.
Yeah. Was that like the first sign where you saw LeBron, like, getting older, father time is undefeated, maybe, you know, took a little chunk out of him?
It was just a growing thing. I've tweaked my groin many, many times. So it's just a part of the game. Dudes get hurt, and you know he just so happens to not get hurt as much.
at what point do you look at Luke Walton and say, "Hey, this may not be the best coach and the best fit for what we're trying to do with LeBron James"?
I don't know. I mean, it's always going to be pressure being a coach for the Lakers. But one thing that from my experience that I've seen is they were doing the same thing with Eric Spoelstra when we first got together. You know, the Lakers are still a family-run organization, just like the Miami Heat are. So they're going to work more. I think working the system more, working your principles, working your fundamentals within the organization is more important sometimes. So I think Luke Walton, I mean, he wants to win. He's a winner. I think he's a pretty good coach. He just, you know, it takes time. It's this instant society that we live in. People want it now. And, you know, they're in a position where they have to, you know, develop everybody. And he has to develop as well as a coach.
How important is it, though, in that situation? Because, like you said, people were questioning Spoelstra. Reports were that players were questioning Spoelstra early on when you guys got there. How big was it, though, that Pat Riley and the whole organization was completely behind him, whereas with the Lakers, Magic and Pelinka didn't hire Luke Walton, you know, and there's this feeling that Luke is going to be the scapegoat. He's twisting in the wind. How much different would it be if the front office is like, look, this is our guy. If you're going to win, it's going to be with Luke Walton.
Didn't Jeannie Buss did that?
Jeannie said that.
Yeah, then,
but
I mean,
hey, I don't know about the other ones.
Hey, Jeannie Buss. You know, that's
so that's just settling. Like for you guys, when Pat Riley says that.
End of story.
The end of story, right? Yeah. You got to win with the coach, whether you like him or not.
There you go.
When you think back to the to Miami, obviously you guys won two championships, but if I remember LeBron saying not two, not three, not four, yeah. not five, not six, not seven, I don't have enough time to do all of them.
Sounds like Tom Brady.
Keep going.
But you won two out of four. Obviously winning championships, I'm not trying to poo-poo it at all. Mm-hmm. But was it as satisfying, or maybe was it as did you feel like you guys fulfilled what you set out to do when you three all joined? Because I look at it sometimes and think you guys should have won more and you didn't.
Mm-hmm. 50% is pretty good. You know, two out of four is pretty good. You know, we played one of the greatest teams to ever play the game, went toe-to-toe with those guys and split it with them. You know, Dallas played a phenomenal series and, you know, beat us. Two out of four championships, I mean, I'll take it. You know, and was it satisfying? Unbelievably so. Winning a championship is one of the hardest things, I think, you know, to do on this earth. You know, and that's a prideful thing that we carry. The things that we had to do in order to accomplish things as a team, it was a very special time. And that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah, two out of four ain't bad.
Yeah.
You got time for one more?
Yeah.
No, I'm not ready.
Should marquee free agents avoid teaming up with LeBron next year? His former co-star is going to answer that question. No
mercy. Hey guys, Jenny Taft here with a quick word about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Undisputed a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. Now, back to the show. No
mercy. Everything LeBron does makes news, so it shouldn't be a surprise that his All-Star selections last week made headlines. LeBron's top picks, including Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Kawhi Leonard, all have something in common. They're all upcoming free agents this summer. But LeBron said he made his picks according to the best players available, not based on free agency. Well, on LeBron's real team, LA wasn't able to trade for Anthony Davis last week, and they couldn't sign Paul George last offseason. So we're once again joined by one of LeBron's former teammates, Chris Bosh. Chris, should free agents want to play with LeBron?
LA is a cool town. I mean, the Lakers are still the Lakers. We were joking in the back. I said, look, you know, people really underestimate this free agency stuff. If LeBron wants to recruit and Magic Johnson wants to recruit, you're going to listen. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a top destination. Whether guys choose it or not, that's another thing.
But Paul George wouldn't even take a meeting with Magic. Why'd you think that happened, even though LeBron and Magic, he's from the area.
Oklahoma City has a pretty good team. I think he made the right decision, and he's playing great. And, you know, he noticed that. And I'm sure he saw something with Russ and the team that they could build and wanted to stay there, just like Russ did.
How much, when you were with LeBron, obviously you won two championships, but your numbers, you were about 22, 23, and 11 in Toronto, 24 some seasons, down to, like, 18, 17, and your rebounds down a little. Do you think some guys look at playing with LeBron as if I play with LeBron, my numbers are going to drop. I'm not going to be able to play my game. Your game changed.
Yeah.
How much of a deterrent could that be to some other stars?
Well, I mean, if somebody wants to take that into consideration, if getting numbers is more important, then it's more important. You know, I can attest to numbers not being everything. I know we're living in a numbers-driven world, but numbers don't mean everything. You know, you can still have success and play on a pretty good team. It's just whatever a person wants to do.
Was it tough for you, though? I mean, you were still making all-star teams and still getting a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
But was it tough to play that different role when, and, you know, everything kind of ran through LeBron?
Of course. Of course. Winning is tough. Winning is tough. Even if I was asked to average old numbers, which happened later in my career, that's hard, you know? it doesn't really mean anything to say, okay, I'm 24 and 12, but, you know, I'm sitting home kind of watching, having playoff parties all the time. It gets overrated, you know?
LeBron talked about trying to recruit players, and he said that he couldn't get anybody to come to Cleveland. Did he try to get you before he decided to go to Miami with Dwayne Wade and you? Did he try to get you to come to Cleveland?
No.
Okay,
that's... We played it out.
Right.
Everybody played it out, yeah. That was the whole problem.
That's what he was saying, that he couldn't get anybody.
Yeah, and can I say, hey, man, Giannis Antetokounmpo for MVP, man. Nobody's talking about Giannis.
He's second.
Yes.
Over Harden.
You would pick the Milwaukee Bucks in first right now in the preseason. Would you say the Milwaukee Bucks are going to have home court advantage throughout the playoffs?
No. But I wouldn't
say
James Harden's going to score 40.
For sure. And that's amazing.
30 straight games.
But I give the nod to Giannis only because they're in first place. He's playing amazing.
He's playing great.
Giannis Antetokounmpo for MVP, everybody.
But Harden doesn't have any help.
When I think about LeBron James and guys wanting or not wanting to come and play with him, for me, I just think this era, social media driven, guys want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
It's not so much about, okay, I feel like I need LeBron to get it done or win championships. They're like, I don't per se need LeBron.
Yeah.
I want to be the one that does it without LeBron and establish my own team or identity and championships to where I don't have to attach them with the success of such a great player like LeBron. Do you see that?
No, absolutely. The new generation is coming in, is really here, and they're trying to establish themselves, you know. So that's a part of being a young player and wanting to establish yourself in the NBA, saying I can do it myself, and that's great. It's like I say, it's a team sport, so you're going to have to find yourself in a position to be able to do that. Everybody wants to be a franchise player, but that's just not the case. It may be a little construed with social media followings and then a lot of money being, you know, paid to these young guys. So they might think in their head like, oh, yeah, I'm the guy to do this. When you're a kid in the driveway, what do? You count down and you're the one hitting the shot at the buzzer, right? Doesn't always happen. You know, that's not always realistic. It's good to practice it, but it just might not happen.
But, Chris, is it also a part where if LeBron wins or the team wins, it's about LeBron, and when you don't win, you're the reason why? Like, it's always been like in Cleveland lately, well, LeBron doesn't have any help. So what do you gain if you go play with LeBron and say you don't win? You kind of get all the blame. Everybody says LeBron's a great player, but he doesn't have any help. Could that deter you from wanting to be a part of something like that?
Well, I mean, it just depends on the person. I think it depends on the person, what they want out of basketball. Fact of the matter is, LeBron is a great player, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to do it. And you have an opportunity to play with a guy like that. You know, it's, you know, I always like to compare, you know, with Kobe and Jordan, same kind of narrative. Do people want to play with Kobe? He's just, you know, drives people just up the wall, and he's competitive, and so is Mike. And it's just always going to be that narrative of if. And, you know, yeah, you're going to have to conform to a really good player. You know, KD conformed his game, as crazy as it sounds, around the Golden State Warriors, and it looks amazing. You know, the team moving the ball, and he's probably really good one-on-one. You know what I mean? So it allows him to open up his game, but you do have to conform around great players. That's just no getting around that.
If KD or Kyrie or Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, one of these big-time free agents came to you and said, look, I'm considering going to the Lakers. What was it like? You sacrificed numbers. you know, it's going to be LeBron's team. What was it like to play with him, and what advice would you give them?
Just play basketball. You know, it's basketball at the end of the day. That's the best part.
But it's different than you were used to playing.
Yeah, I mean, you can get more shots now, so it's a little, I mean, I don't, you know, what do people want? And I mean, it's always this narrative where, you know, we're always talking about, you know, LeBron, you have to deal with that. I think that's the biggest thing you have to deal with is the media narrative and kind of navigating that and not really slipping up all the time. That's pretty much like number one. And it's just, you're going to be under the microscope. That's just a fact of the matter. So, if you don't understand what that means, you'll learn. If you don't want to understand what that means, then sign somewhere else. It's a lot of teams with cap space.
I'm going to say this because Rob is being very modest and mild right now. He does not want LeBron to be successful.
That's not true.
And he does not want.
That's not true. I don't want him to be successful. You don't want him to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs based on the team that he has.
Right now, the way he's posing all these questions and trying to. He's playing the nice guy.
No, I'm not.
He wants to see if he can pull you over. He wants LeBron and the Lakers to miss the playoffs. I don't really believe he wants to see LeBron acquire another talent because he wants to be able to say, nobody wants to play with LeBron James.
I'm just giving you the facts of what's happened. That's why I asked him the question about LeBron said he tried to attract people to Cleveland. But you said that never, that conversation.
I mean, it was me. Well, and I mean, he played there for 7 years.
Right, but he never talked to you really about it.
Yeah, that was me. Okay. He went to the finals. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, who's going to go to Cleveland, especially when the, seriously.
Especially, Cleveland.
Especially when the salary cap was tight. It's not like it is today. Cleveland has more flexibility. Small market teams have more flexibility to pay more. Back then, you couldn't. Who are you going to get?
But when you look LeBron, okay, we could talk about his triple-double he had, but, you know, he defensively played poorly last night. That's why they weren't able to win, because defensively they couldn't stop the Hawks. And I'm saying even LeBron's come back from injury, they've lost, what, two of the five games that he's won two of the
three
five.
Four.
Two of the recently. Five that he's played in. Because remember, he rested that one game. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, when I look at this team, I don't think it's a good team, even with LeBron. Like, they have issues. So, it's
Weren't
not a shock to me.
Seed at one point?
No, where are they now? We're not talking about the
well,
past.
He missed 18.
Right now, they're in the 10th seed.
So, you're a prisoner of the moment.
I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I'm talking about real facts, not
Chris,
about what happened.
Quickly, are the Celtics better with or without Kyrie?
We've been talking that.
Kyrie's pretty good too. I'm gonna say with.
Say it to
say
him.
He's better. No,
right. He's gonna say with.
Yeah, of course, you know what I mean. Of
because
course,
because he Kyrie. Because yeah. They are.
He has his own shoe, guys. Come on. You got to have your own shoe. Thank you got to be pretty good. If you
he makes
him,
my point.
You see when he finishes in the lane all and right, doing all that, right, and the step back. You were there. He's pretty good.
You guys can bet some sneakers on it. Chris Bosh, the fourth player
so
in Miami
much.
Heat history to have his jersey retired next month. Congratulations, and thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate it.
And LeBron won't make the playoffs.
We have some breaking news in the NFL. Joe Flacco reportedly on his way to Denver. We'll discuss that next. No mercy. Well, we have breaking news. ESPN reports the Ravens have agreed in principle to trade Joe Flacco to the Broncos. The deal can't be official until the new NFL league year starts next month. Flacco was Super Bowl MVP back in the 2012 season, but not counting this year when the team was led by rookie Lamar Jackson, Flacco's Ravens had missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. Greg, you're the obvious start on this. What's your reaction?
It doesn't make the Denver Broncos a better team, in my opinion. When I look at where they are, Case Keenum, yeah, he's a flashier quarterback. Joe Flacco, he's won. Case Keenum has not won a Super Bowl. But when I look at the production and what I'm going to get for Joe Flacco, I know they're not making this move saying this is the future of our franchise. They're making this move saying, just in case we don't have someone else to replace either Case Keenum or Joe, we have these two, and they're solid. We can win games with these guys, but I'm not looking at it as this big difference maker. When I look at that division, it doesn't move them higher up the totem pole in that AFC West.
I'm with you. More like a desperation move. Like, okay, we'll take him. just in case, as you said, this is not like, oh, wow, they're making moves. This is further proof that John Elway hasn't done it right when it comes to quarterbacks. This is like 10 guys who have been through Denver over the last few years trying to figure out something quarterback-wise. And Flacco's at the end. I mean, he really is. And Baltimore, I don't blame Baltimore for moving on. They've decided that they're moving forward and that he won a Super Bowl with them. He gave them some good years, but his best years are behind him.
I agree with you that they're not looking at him as their quarterback of the future and that if they can get a good one in the draft, they'll do it. But I do think it's an upgrade. I think he'll start. I think they're thinking he's going to start. He couldn't win last year, but his numbers, they're better than Case Keenum's. You know, and I think that a new atmosphere, a new setting will be good for Flacco. He's only 33. He's only 33 years old.
He's now an we old know quarterback.
Maybe. But, you know, he's quarterbacks now are playing a lot longer. His numbers aren't better.
How much better are they than Case Keenum?
Better. They're better. I'm not saying he was like Aaron Rodgers or anything like that, but they're better.
But like this much of a margin?
he threw 12 touchdowns. 6 interceptions last year, Keenum 18 and 15. Yeah, and obviously that was in half a year.
Yeah, I was going to say he didn't have the remaining 6 games.
There, I
to throw
think
another or 7
no,
games.
Well, but he wasn't on pace to throw as many. He was had a better pace.
If Joe Flacco was still good, he would have been starting quarterback.
No, I'm just saying I think it's an upgrade. I'm not saying he's their quarterback for the next 5 years and Elway thinks he's going to lead them to a championship. But for right now, it's an upgrade over Case Keenum. He's done more in the league than Case Keenum. I think he's a stronger leader than Case Keenum. I think they're looking at it like, look, our defense already was strong. We don't need – unless we can get a great quarterback. Yeah, we want a great quarterback. But unless we can get one, let's go with a guy like this who – that's how Flacco won his championship. I know he was better back then, but it was a defensive
– He lost his job to a rookie – quarterback that they wanted to sit all of last year.
I get all that.
And the Baltimore Ravens benefit more from this than the Denver Broncos.
Well, we knew they were trading him. We knew they were getting rid of him. I'm saying it's an upgrade over Case Keenum. I'm not saying they're the favorites in the AFC. I'm saying I think it makes them better.
I'm not convinced that he's going to be the automatic starter with Denver when he gets there.
He'll beat out Keenum.
I'm not convinced of that.
I'm not convinced either. And when I look at Case Keenum and what he was able to do in Minnesota, obviously what
he
did.
He was great in Minnesota.
One time out of how many years?
No, I get that. But you talked about Flacco being a better leader. I didn't see a better leader when I saw Case Keenum and how he rallied those guys and how they believed in his ability to win games when it counted and relying on him to get it done versus some other quarterback. But you saying that Joe Flacco is an upgrade, that's like saying what everybody thought about Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins. It's like
they thought it was an upgrade.
You thought
right.
It was an upgrade, but you pretty much got the same
thing.
Well,
individually, it was an upgrade. Kirk Cousins has had a better individual career and is a better individual
quarterback. But it wasn't an upgrade for the Minnesota Vikings last year.
Greg, do you agree with Chris that a new environment can breathe some life into a player?
Yeah, being benched can breathe some life into a player.
Well, he got two reasons to be fired up when he gets there.
Yeah, but you can be fired up, but if you don't have what it takes from a skill set component, it doesn't matter. I'm taking the same talents over somewhere else, and
they didn't bring him there. They didn't bring him there to be on the bench.
This is John Elway,
they know,
who got rid of Brock Osweiler and then brought him back. That's
he didn't
he did.
Like. Again, I'm not saying they got a great quarterback.
He wasn't brought there
to be on the bench because he could have stayed in Baltimore.
No mercy.
Next up, guys, is it over for Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh? AB made it seem that way yesterday when he tweeted, quote, "Thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward." Brown and the Steelers have had a rocky relationship recently, including Brown being deactivated before their final game when they failed to make the playoffs. Now, Brown has been a Pro Bowler the last 6 straight years, but he also has been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons, and he's going to be turning 31 in July. So, Greg, would you want AB on your team at this point?
Absolutely. It's not even a question.
No?
It's not even a question. When I look at the production, and again, we talk about this often, the production, does it outweigh what I'm getting involved with? Absolutely. And what tells me that? I look at these six straight 1,000-yard seasons, and they're not just subpar numbers. They're not. They're better than most receivers' six seasons of their best. Six seasons of their best. That's the type of production you get out of an Antonio Brown. Will he make an offense better? No doubt in my mind. There's teams that will look at this situation and say, you know what? He can make us better. Several teams, the Niners being one of them. The Raiders, potentially. The Green Bay Packers need another receiver. A receiver that can take on and be a big play guy.
Can you imagine catching the ball from Aaron Rodgers?
When I
yeah, even, you can.
Even, yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly. The New Orleans Saints. They need another option. These are teams that Antonio Brown is one of those talents that you don't run into every so often. He's a special, unique talent. And everyone wants to make it out to be. And I've said he needs to dial back on some of the things that he's doing. But when I see a player asking for a trade, it's more than just what meets the eye. It's beyond just the surface things of, you know, there's conflict or there's something going on within that locker room. Le'Veon Bell sitting out a full year, foregoing $14 million and some odd change and not playing. Something's going on in Pittsburgh that is still there that Antonio Brown doesn't want to deal with anymore. Le'Veon Bell is like, I don't want to deal with it anymore. They're going to have to figure it out without Antonio Brown. And another thing, the production side of it. You look at Antonio Brown on the football field and you say, man, he's going to give me 1,000-yard season every single time and 100 catches every single year. Well, that's with him on the – and then you look at Juju Smith-Schuster, and everybody's so excited about Juju. I love what I see out of Juju. I think he's going to be a great player in this league. But he's the player that he is right now because of Antonio Brown. Let's not misunderstand that. A lot of those guys – and you will be asking a James Conner to add more to his load, Jesse James, tight end, Vance McDonald to add more to his load, James Washington, a young rookie that they just acquired, and a Ryan Switzer to produce more, and a Ben Roethlisberger to carry even more of the load. That's a lot of load because you're losing a lot of production, and that those shoes, although you feel like and every team has to move on from players from time to time, but when a player like this wants out, it's not a good look on the organization and what's going on in that locker room.
Will that coverage shift over to Juju, right?
It's gonna shift over to Juju, and then will he be able to put up those numbers that we saw him put up this year?
I agree with just about everything you said. I mean, Antonio Brown obviously is a tremendous player. I would want him on my team. If I'm the team that's going to trade for him, though, and I think Pittsburgh would be amenable to you talking with him first. And I think you need, I say this somewhat softly, to lay down the law, you know, and you're not going to, I don't mind him being who he is. His personality, the furs, heck, even a helicopter. If you want to take a helicopter to training camp or whatever, that's on you. But I would want certain things like when we're in training camp, you're with the team. You know, the whole thing in Pittsburgh was, you know, obviously you get rid of the videotape and Facebook Live and all that in the locker room.
You know,
like,
what?
You lay down, you tell him certain things that you expect of him, because the reports are that in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin would say, as long as the production outweighs the distractions, we'll put up with it. Once you start soft, you can't go hard as a coach because the players will see it as phony. That's not really you. I think if a coach starts hard, and again, not offensive, you respect Antonio as a man, but this is how we do it here. And if he's amenable to that and agrees to that, I can always get softer. But I want to start hard with him and let him know what we're trying to do. I would want him on my team so much that if I'm Pittsburgh, I think there would be one inkling of hope. All right, and there's not a lot because the owner gave an olive branch. Some players gave out olive branches, and Antonio wasn't listening to that. I don't know if he's tried to reach out, but Ben Roethlisberger, you are about to lose one of the best receivers in the league, a guy you have a great connection with on the field. You need to humble yourself and call Antonio Brown, Try to set up a meeting, man to man, face to face, hear him out.
That ship sailed.
It's gone.
He can't do it.
It's
There's
gone.
No way.
That ship is
so if he tries to reach, has he tried?
Do you, it's it, gone.
He can't reach out.
It's gone. He could. He can reach out.
Antonio wouldn't hear.
It's not. It's too late for that. It's too late for that. When you look at the New England Patriots and you look at Julian Edelman and you look at Tom Brady, that's the relationship that receivers want with their quarterback. Simple. It's not Julian Edelman is this great receiver, but he has a greater relationship with his quarterback, not just on the football field, off the football field. And I'm not saying you have to be
buddy, right.
And you got to be best friends and you got to be flying together. I'm not saying all of that, but it has to be real off the field in order for it to continue to work on the field. And that's what's not there in Pittsburgh. Everyone wants to make it seem like Ben Roethlisberger has extended this olive branch and has reached out and is willing to do that. That's not always true.
You just mentioned,
but Antonio wouldn't hear it.
You mentioned the New England Patriots. It would never happen where they would make a trade, but AB would fit in because he's so good with the video camera stuff. So that would work.
he would fit in many. Like,
but I want
to
say,
I'd love to see him there, but it won't happen.
It won't happen. But I'm with you. A guy of his production, I'm going to make any effort to add a player of that caliber to my team. I just am. And I'll look at that 15 touchdowns in 15 games, which is six straight years of 1,000 yards. I mean, that's the kind of guy who's a game changer.
Yes.
You're not adding somebody in who you're like, well, we'll see. No. He immediately gets attention. He immediately is going to open up the field for other people and other things we want to do. And I think when you look at Pittsburgh, I'm with you. It's closed. The door is closed there. He needs to move on, and he needs to get to a spot where people will embrace him. And that baggage, if I'm another team, I say, that was in Pittsburgh, and I don't know all the other interworkings. Like you brought up, Le'Veon had an issue there. Ben had some issues with some teammates or whatever. I'm going to let him come here. And let him, I hear what you're saying about let him know what we expect here. But other than that, you come here to play football. We want you to be productive. Obviously, if he crosses the line or does something, that then I'll just decide we're going to move on. But I'm going to give him that respect of you're a great football player. We brought you here to play football. Whatever happened in the past is the past. We're looking forward to what you can deliver for us as we move forward.
With all that has happened with Antonio Brown, have we heard any of his teammates talk about what a bad teammate he is or how bad he is for the locker room? No, we have not heard that. We've not heard that one time. And it's because when you meet Antonio Brown, great personality, vibrant, love, like he's a good young man. Now, I'm not saying he's everything that everybody wants to be and aspire to be. I'm not saying all of that.
Why do the receivers get such a bad rap?
The receivers get a bad rap because immediately Antonio's one of those guys, he likes to look good. He likes to be flat. That's
he's
who
flashy.
He is.
That's
he's flashy. So he fits that mode of diva receiver. But what people don't understand is to fit that mode of diva receiver or to have this type of perception, you got to be one of the hardest working guys in the business. And that's what he is. Every single day, getting up early. It doesn't matter how late he's out or late he's up, working out every single morning. Odell Beckham, same way. Like, they understand what's really important. And you will take that on your team because you value that. And when I look at Antonio Brown and the production that he can provide, a lot of teams out there, they're going to look at this situation and say, I'll take him.
So, Greg, when he missed that last game, he had to be cut deep for him not to be a part of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that where the situation in Pittsburgh really severed for him? Because if he really cares and works hard and puts in all his energy for him not to come to a game, that had to be the part where he got severed, where he said, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with he's frustrated with just the situation that he's in and the relationship that he has with his quarterback. Because he's producing all of these numbers and he doesn't have a great relationship with his quarterback. And that's the misconception, that most receivers have this great relationship with their quarterback. And it's just not the case. And regardless of how much we call receivers divas, quarterbacks are just as much divas.
We call you a diva on this show because you're trying to deal with you.
You know what I mean?
Athletes are divas.
I can say that. I mean, but when you have a sense of pride about what you can provide in any situation, this show or your employer, it doesn't matter. You're going to carry yourself a certain way. It may look different from person to person, but as long as you're doing your job, who cares? And that's when Antonio Brown, what he can provide. I look at even the Colts, a situation with Andrew Luck and Antonio Brown. And
he'd be great.
There's a lot of teams that are going to really have to assess. And again, the draft is coming. It's looming. So you're going to look at guys that you can potentially get at a lower number. But Antonio Brown's going to be a lot of radar.
And that's the interesting thing, is how the Steelers are going to navigate through this, because you have to imagine they're going to try and bolster that offense with Bell and AB leaving. And if they trade him before June 1st, which they're going to want to do to get those draft picks, they leave $21 million dead money on the books, which that's tough to swallow.
For me to swallow, not.
Yeah, right. It's tough for me. I'll never see $21 million. Will Rob Parker's boy, Tom Brady, keep winning more and more Super Bowls? What do you think, Rob? We'll discuss next.
No mercy.
Tom Brady recently won his NFL record 6th Super Bowl, but he is definitely not settling for next season. Brady sent a message yesterday that won't sit well with the other teams in the league. The Patriots posted an image on Instagram that shows Brady at the team's Super Bowl parade holding up 6 fingers. Brady responded with 7 fingers to represent yet another Super Bowl trophy. So, Rob, I know you have a special love in your heart for Tom Brady and the Patriots. What do you think? Is he going to get a 7th ring?
You know he's not getting a 7th ring. Stop it. He was lucky to get a 6th ring, and Tom Brady was...
And a 5th and a 4th.
No, but Tom Brady was along for the ride. Can I remind you about the Super Bowl? And Tom Brady looked more like
Peter Brady in that
Super Bowl, the last one. He had no touchdowns. 1 interception and 1 fumble.
And they lost?
No, they won the Super Bowl.
Oh, they won.
Was he in for that game-winning drive? Was that him or was that the backup?
He was so bad in that game, they couldn't even give him the MVP. They gave it to a wide receiver who didn't even have a touchdown in the game. All I'm saying is, thank God the defense gave him this Super Bowl like it was a parting gift. Like they should give you on the game shows, you know, when you lose, they usually give you something. Tom Brady looked all of 41 years old. He did not look like the guy who everybody thinks is going to play till he's 50 and he's defeating Father Time. He looked almost like Peyton Manning. Remember when the Broncos gave him that Super Bowl?
No.
He was bad.
He threw for twice as many yards as
Manning.
Yeah,
but they were dinks and dunks. Gordon. He tossed the ball. I could toss the ball to Greg and he run 40 yards. That's what Tom Brady was relegated to. Bill Belichick knows that. Run the ball. Have Tom just toss the ball out.
Was that a dink to Gronkowski at the goal
line? Well, that was one he got. All right, he got 1 or 2. But okay. I'm just saying, for the most part, if you really watched that Super Bowl and looked at Tom Brady, there's no way you're looking at that saying they're going to repeat that or Tom Brady's going to lead them to another Super Bowl. That was more of the Rams not showing up for that Super Bowl.
So really
and the defense won it, not Tom Brady.
So really quick. After the regular season, Tom Brady, you were on the record of saying what now?
What, that they were going to lose. I thought they were going to lose.
Oh, and there was no way that Tom Brady and this New England Patriots team could win even a playoff game.
I didn't know that the Chargers were going to wet the bed.
They didn't wet the bed.
They got smacked. And I didn't know that the Chiefs at home we're going to get shut out by the defense again.
And I didn't know.
Tom Brady has won 2 Super Bowls in his career out of those 7 where he's thrown 1 touchdown. He has 2 Super Bowls where they were basically gifted to him. So you
let
can
me
say
tell
whatever
you
want. That's
let me
tell gifted.
This. I would love to be on that team and catch a couple balls. Catch a couple passes for a few yards and just add 3 more Super Bowl rings.
Right.
I'm cool with that.
Right.
I'm cool. I'm pretty sure he's okay with having a couple Super Bowls that he's only thrown one touchdown.
I get it. All I'm saying is by looking at that, it would be different. Tom Brady came out slinging the ball, won the MVP, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Then I'd be like, how are you going to stop this
no,
guy?
No, you wouldn't.
How are you going to stop this guy?
No, you wouldn't, because he did it 2 years ago in a loss, and you said he was still done.
But he fumbled the ball. He gave up the ball. Did he not give up the ball? He was the GOAT in that game. He was. He coughed up the ball with 2.5 minutes to go.
Yeah, he just stood back there and said, hey, come on, Graham, come and hit me. No, he got hit. And he didn't expect
it. Did he cough up the ball?
He coughed up the ball.
Did you see him running out for a pass in that Super Bowl?
If you could show me that he's the only quarterback that fumbles the ball in that situation, then you got a point. Until he's the only sole quarterback that drops the ball in that situation, you have no point.
Here we go. This is what Tom Brady did in the Super Bowl. Are you looking at this? Blank. Zero. He didn't do anything in that Super Bowl.
Who led the game-winning drive?
Edelman and Gronk. Gronk had
two
big touches.
Who threw them the ball? See, I want to agree with, like, I do feel like there was a sense of finality to that last Super Bowl. Now, I'm smart enough never to write off Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You bring up Peyton Manning. Well, how many yards Peyton throw for it in that Super Bowl? 105 or 120? Brady threw for, like, 260, 250, something like that. Like, led the game-winning drive with pinpoint passes.
How come he didn't win the MVP?
Who cares about the MVP?
I'm just asking. He was that good? You're telling me?
No, I didn't say he was fantastic.
Oh, what a final drive.
Their final drive was.
So why didn't he win the MVP? That was the only touchdown in the game.
Your statements are so out there that I'm disagreeing. Like, I'm making disagreeing with you, even though I'm saying I don't think he's going to win a 7th ring. I'm not going to write him off. I'll give him, like, a 15% chance. But I felt like last year they had incredible motivation both internally and externally. I like that Brady clearly is still motivated. Talking about 7 rings, put something on his Instagram with a song. I can't remember what it was, but clearly looking toward next year and all that. That's great. But they also were motivated by losing the year before to Philadelphia when you know they felt they should have won. They were motivated by everybody writing them off when they were 9-5. They were motivated by everybody talking about how good the Chargers were, and they got so much more talent on paper. And the Chiefs, they have so much more talent on paper. Julian Edelman says that his PED thing was a mistake. Like, it wasn't fair. It wasn't just that he was suspended. So they had all that outward motivation in addition to their own internal motivation. And sometimes, Greg, that can take you to a level you really – because obviously you're always motivated to win a Super Bowl no matter what. You say you can't be more motivated. But sometimes you can go to a level you don't consciously think you can go to. So I don't know if they can get there again in this season. So I do look at the AFC. They're still in the weak AFC East. I don't think the Chargers, maybe they'll bounce back, but I don't think they're ready for prime time. I don't think Houston's ready for prime time. I think Cleveland's a little young to really beat them. Pittsburgh's in turmoil. Baltimore, I'm not a believer. Indianapolis, especially if they can get Antonio Brown, and Kansas City. And Andy Reid, he's had trouble winning the
Bills. No, he's a choke artist.
Okay, so they have a good chance. I think Kansas City's the favorite in the AFC. But they have a good chance to get back. And then if you get back, anything can happen. But I don't think he's going to get 7.
It was a 50 Cent song on Instagram. Many men wish death upon me. But when you're saying...
Well, that was the latest one? I thought he just released a new one, like, after the Super Bowl. But anyway.
We talk about the finality, because I agree with you on that. And I think if you're... And you're the athlete here. Don't you want to ride out on top? I mean, you could probably still be playing in the league if you wanted to. But there's something to be said for walking out, A, on your own terms, and B, on top, which Tom has the ability to do at this point. Is he being a little greedy?
Everyone wants that picture-perfect ride out into the sunset, which is you win the Super Bowl or you win the NBA Finals and then you exit. Tom Brady, however he exits, he will ride out on top.
Damn.
Let's understand that.
Because he didn't play well enough in that Super Bowl.
No, let's understand that. And so I'm going to go back to the question. Will Tom Brady win his seventh ring? he is going to have the same opportunity that he had this past season, the season before, and the seasons
before.
You
didn't answer the question. Yes, yes. Or no? Okay.
He will, really.
He's going yes. to have seven. Yes. Yes.
Want a better pair of Jordans on that?
Let me finish really quick. Because you're thanking God that his defense won him a championship this season. When his defense, what do you think they're thanking God for? That Tom Brady has been our quarterback who has won us several. So I am excited about what the defense was able to do. But when I look at Tom Brady and I look at what motivates him, everything motivates Tom Brady. The fact that he won the Super Bowl this year and the fact that he realizes there's things that I can improve upon this season, let alone in the Super Bowl, that's going to motivate him. He's not just listening to a Rob Parker or myself or Chris Broussard and hearing what we're saying and listening to Rob and him hearing him say he played poorly in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady is very self-aware. He knows how he played in the Super Bowl. He does not want to ever have that experience again. But he understands, I will do whatever it takes, and if my play is that and we still are able to win, I'll take it. When I look at the New England Patriots, two reasons why they will get another ring and they will have the same opportunity that they've had in years past. Bill Belichick isn't going anywhere and Tom Brady isn't going anywhere. The man says, I'm playing until I'm 45 years old. He still has the work ethic. He still has the weapons around him. Everybody talks about the limited weapons and the ability that everyone around him has, but they understand how to win. They understand the importance of team and knowing your role mm-hmm. and doing their job. They still have the AFC East. They're in that division. The closest team, the Dolphins, 7-9. They just acquired Brian Flores, their defensive play caller. When I look at him, I say, okay, they'll lose one game. They went 8-0 at home last year, 5-1 in that division. They will still go 5-1 in that division. I'll give a win to Flores because the Miami Dolphins tend to always sneak one away from the Pats.
I'll say this, finish with this. I know Tom Brady's, what, 41 and getting older, but they're telling me that there are rumors now that the Patriots are going to move their practice facility to the graveyard next year. That's how old he is.
Jeez.
Trust me.
Bum, bum, bum.
He's gone. Yeah.
On that note.
Yeah. Can you imitate cricket?
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.